This episode was originally broadcast in 2012.
Major funding for Backstory is provided by an anonymous donor, the National Endowment for the Humanities, and the Joseph and Robert Cornell Memorial Foundation.
From Virginia Humanities, this is Backstory. Welcome to Backstory, the show that explains the history behind today's headlines. I'm Brian Ballow. If you're new to the podcast, each week, along with my colleagues Ed Ayers, Joanne Freeman, and Nathan Connolly, we explore a topic of American history that's been in the news. In June of 1957, a powerful hurricane by the name of Audrey slammed into the Gulf Coast of Texas and Louisiana. Hundreds of people were killed, making it the sixth deadliest hurricane on record in the U.S. So what did the federal government do in the wake of this terrible storm? President Eisenhower didn't visit the devastation. Congress was in session, but it didn't hold any special discussion on the response to the hurricane. $1 billion worth of damage had been done, but lawmakers appropriated a paltry $2 million in aid. And here's the most amazing part. Nobody really thought there was anything particularly wrong with the government response, or you might say lack of a response. Now, fast forward to 2005. Another storm, approximately the same strength, had just plowed into the Gulf Coast, Hurricane Katrina. The president was on the ground in New Orleans within a few days, but he was roundly criticized for taking so long to get there. It went without saying that the feds would appropriate a significant chunk of money for the hardest hit areas. The only question was how much. David Vitter, a Republican senator from Louisiana, pushed for the most generous federal relief appropriation in history.
He asked for $200 billion, which the Washington Post calculated was more than the federal government had paid for the entire Louisiana territory in 1803 in inflation-adjusted dollars. So it's really quite a large amount.
This is Gareth Davis, a lecturer in American history at Oxford University. Gareth says that while Vitter didn't get the whole $200 billion in relief money, he did get half of it. That means the federal government spent 6,000 times as much money, inflation-adjusted, on Katrina as it spent on its response to Audrey. So I asked Gareth, where does that shift come from?
I think the point at which Americans start to look to the federal government to protect them from natural disasters on a very large scale is really the 1960s. But really since the New Deal, I would say, and certainly since World War II and the Cold War, there has been a sort of bureaucratization of American government, and the federal bureaucracy has had far greater freedom, autonomy, flexibility to move in response to disasters.
Gareth, are you saying that the federal response to disasters is pretty much in line with the federal response to the need for interstate highways or the federal response to the demand for health care?
Yeah. And I think one can be quite precise, actually, about when this transformation takes place. I mean, it takes place in 1965 when Hurricane Betsy hit New Orleans.
Yes.
The federal response is quite unlike the federal response to any other disaster in American history. What happens is that Russell Long, the senator from Louisiana, picks up the phone and dials the White House, and Lyndon Johnson answers the phone.
Hello. Yes, Russell.
Good brother.
And Russell Long says, I'm standing in my house, and a tree has just come through the roof. And my family was nearly wiped out. And we are suffering in New Orleans, and we need your help.
We need your help.
And Lyndon Johnson has received a lot of help from Russell Long in the previous year. So LBJ feels quite beholden to Long and wants to help him. On the other hand, Johnson's about to go into hospital to have his gallbladder removed.
Russell, I've got a hell of 2 days that I've got scheduled. Let me look and see what I can back out of and get into and so on and so forth. Let me give you a ring back. If I can't go, I'll put the best man I got there.
And Russell Long said, we don't want your best man. We want you. I'm a Johnson man, he says. And then Russell Long starts imagining the headlines if Lyndon Johnson went down to New Orleans. You know, President Lyndon Johnson, great American hero, visits New Orleans.
Gallbladder headlines. Yeah. I wonder which one Johnson chose.
Yeah. Said, you lost Louisiana in 64. No one could touch you. Not even Eisenhower could beat you, he says, if you ran again in Louisiana after. So Johnson says,
Let me think about it and call you back. I love you. Thank you, my friend.
And literally 5 hours later, Johnson is touching down in New Orleans. Not only that, he has with him the head of the Army Corps of Engineers, the Surgeon General, four or five other sort of agency heads. And the winds are still blowing. And Johnson makes a rather nice, spontaneous speech, really empathetic speech. And then he strides off to the alarm of the Secret Service into a place where refugees were being kept, African-American refugees, in a schoolhouse. And a little bit like Katrina, they were in dark, unair-conditioned places with no electricity. There was no water. And Johnson has an aide shine a flashlight in his face, and he says, I'm Lyndon Johnson. I'm your president, and I'm here to help. I think that just at that particular moment in time, expectations of federal and presidential leadership, not just bureaucratic leadership, but presidential leadership, had changed in a way that endured.
So it became actually politically risky for a president to not respond.
And that was new.
So have you taken a look at presidential responses to requests for disaster declarations? I mean, is this pressure on the president to respond reflected in the numbers?
Yeah. So in 1950, Congress said that the federal government could assist local communities whenever a president certified that a disaster was sufficiently big to constitute a national event. Johnson declared 18 emergencies every year. A lot of your listeners will probably think that American politics has moved to the right since then. So let's see what happens. Under Nixon, the number doubles to 36 per year. By the time that George W. Bush is president, it's gone up to 72. So if you were looking at the trajectory of government since the peak years of the Great Society, then that's a bit of a surprising finding that it's gone up fourfold, 400%.
It strikes me that one would expect from everything that you've told us that Americans would be incredibly grateful for all of this newfound aid and protection coming from the federal government. But I don't really see people saying, thanks for all this help.
No, I think that's right. And in that sense, there's been this sort of paradox that at the same time when popular expectations of government help have been getting higher and higher and higher, Americans have also developed an increasing contempt for their government. So Americans expect more of a government that they despise. So there's tremendous potential for dissension and tumult when you have those two forces. I mean, they collide with one another when you get an episode like Hurricane Katrina. The expectations are tremendous, but Americans are predisposed, it's sort of almost hotwired into their system, to look for instances of dereliction of duty or incompetence.
That was Gareth Davis, lecturer in American history at Oxford University. That'll do it for us today. Thanks for joining me to take a look back at the Backstory Archive. There are hundreds of other shows available at our website, backstoryradio.org. You can keep the conversation going online. Let us know what you thought of an episode or ask us your question about history. Send us an email at backstory@virginia.edu. We're also on Facebook and Twitter, at Backstory Radio. Backstory is produced at Virginia Humanities. Major support is provided by an anonymous donor, the National Endowment for the Humanities, the Joseph and Robert Cornell Memorial Foundation, the Johns Hopkins University, and the Arthur Vining Davis Foundations. Additional support is provided by the Tomato Fund, cultivating fresh ideas in the arts, the humanities, and the environment.
Brian Ballow is Professor of History at the University of Virginia. Ed Ayers is Professor of the Humanities and President Emeritus of the University of Richmond. Joanne Freeman is Professor of History and American Studies at Yale University. Nathan Connolly is the Herbert Baxter Adams Associate Professor of History at the Johns Hopkins University. Backstory was created by Andrew Windham for Virginia Humanities.